Amen. We'll begin reading with the first verse. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first verse, voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. I'd like to talk for a little while about, yes, John, there will be a future. It's very important for a fellow who has been exiled on a stinking lonely island as a prisoner that may never get back to civilization again, that is in such dire straits that he has no contact with the outside world. There's no telephone to Patmos, folks. There's no two-way radio to Patmos. Come on. The U.S. mail don't run in Patmos. You don't get a letter every day, and the boy don't throw you a newspaper every morning. There's no Hamilton Journal or no Inquirer to read it in Patmos. Amen. There's no libraries with books in them in Patmos. Amen. You're at the mercy of those that are able to get through for a brief visit once in a blue moon. There's a lot of people cared about John. That's where he got his paper to write on. A lot of people cared about John. That's where he got the pen and the ink. And he scribbles out meticulously this letter on his papyrus or whatever he used to write it upon. God said, send it to the angels of the seven churches of Asia. Angels translated from a word which means messenger or preacher or pastor. Send it to the pastor. The pastors of the seven churches of Asia. Amen. Why send it to the pastors? Because a lot of people didn't know how to read in those days. Sometimes the pastor didn't, but in most cases the leader did. Hallelujah. God taught old Brother Seeley how to read. Prayed through on a stump. God taught him to read the Bible. Amen. God taught Vince Wilson how to read. Couldn't recognize his own name hardly when God saved him. Taught him how to read the Bible. Praise God. In most cases, the pastor could read. That's why he sent it to the messenger or the pastor of the church. Amen. We can't imagine a civilization that can't read. But I've known a few people in my life that couldn't. I've known young men that drove everywhere back when you didn't have to take a test to get a driver's license. I knew an old boy down in Thayer, Missouri that drove everywhere in the country. Amen. He couldn't read the road signs, but he knew how to get there. He'd been there before. Somebody pointed him out how to get there. Well, he recognized the road markers, landmarks and such. Amen. But he couldn't even read the road signs, drove everywhere. Amen. When you can't read and you get lost, you don't act like you don't know how to read. You just, amen, ask for directions. Amen. Yes, I've known a few people that couldn't read. Not many. It's hard for us to imagine people that can't read. Even a lot of times when the men could read, in Bible days, the women couldn't. In those days, women weren't considered as important in society as they are today. And so a lot of times the women couldn't read. And you probably have read and have known in the annals of our more immediate history, a time, even in the United States, when it wasn't near as important for a woman to get an education as it was for a man. We've come a long way, baby. Amen. We've rose up in an educated society, but for all of that, there's a lot of people who haven't made the most of it. They've cultivated a lazy mind. They've become couch potatoes, sitting in front of the boob tube all day long, and they haven't learned how to read. And when they do read, they don't read much that amounts to anything. Amen. It's just the get by. But he said, send a letter to the seven churches, to the pastors of the seven churches of Asia. Hallelujah. Seven being a perfect number. Amen. Seven churches with a little bit of all the problems that you have in church life in them. Amen. Seven epistles, if you will, because that's what the word epistle means. It means a letter to the seven churches. Here we have seven churches. Amen. The controversy still goes on as to whether it means seven church ages or seven literal churches. Amen. I feel like it's seven literal churches. Amen. I feel like they address all the problems of all the church in its entirety down to the rapture of the church. Amen. Even though there may be some that would differ with that. Amen. All the problems? Why, it seems like we've got problems today that nobody in any history of all time. No, we got the same old problems, just magnified and modified by modern population explosion and invention. Same old problem. It looks like we're worse in some ways than past generations. No, we've got the same old problems. It just looks worse because there's more of us. Same old sins. It just looks worse because we're all crowded together in the metropolitan areas that continue to grow together. Amen. Cornfields, soybean fields, filled up with houses. I went to a graduation this year, watched 125 graduated out of Madison School. Amen. And that happens every year. That's 125 jobs we're going to have to produce. 125 homes we're going to have to build. Multiply that by all the schools. Amen. I went to my daughter's graduation in Olin Park, Kansas. I figured on sitting there and watching 100 or so, you know, graduate. I never thought I was going to be sitting there way up several hours watching some 400 march through there to graduate. That's 400 more homes. 400 more automobiles we're going to have. Amen. 400 more places on the highway for them to run. And so everything, including the traffic in front of the church out here on Route 4, is worse because of the population explosion. That's what sin is doing today. It's exploding with the population. If we don't win them to God when they're young, what future will they have? Amen. Yet in our schools today, the values that are set forth are values that are not eternal. They're merely temporary. My God. I know they want us to have a better life in this world, and that's good. And well, as far as it goes. But look at the people that lived longer than we did in bygone generations, when the bugs wasn't as bad and you didn't have to spray as much, and the diseases maybe didn't seem like were at least hybridized and immune to treatment like they are today. They've got to keep coming up with new stuff to treat the things that we face today, because disease and pestilence have become hybridized and immune to a great degree to treatment. What is it? The sin explosion. Amen. All around us. My, my. Amen. What future do they have? Look. Look at those that made it great. Solomon, for instance, in Bible time. Few will ever climb to the place that Solomon did. Few will ever see the prosperity that Solomon saw. He wrung his hands. He shook his head in exasperation. He cried out in later life, "It's all vanity and vexation of spirit." Amen. Vanity and vexation of spirit. No matter what kind of future you have in this world, it's summed up in the words of the prophetic utterance of the prophet of the past. Man that is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. We need a better home. We need a better body. We need the hope of a better day. The world seeks a day where there'll be peace. Amen. And it just as well be. They just as well relinquish their hold on the things they cling to so tenaciously. Amen. They just as well give up. It's the meek that are going to inherit the earth anyway. Those that fight and war and vie and build bigger guns and stronger cannons and computerized sights and guns that see as well at night as they do in day. Amen. They're going to face guns that see at night as well as they do in day. Airplanes that are equipped just like they are, maybe made by the same manufacturer. Amen. And now they're facing each other with blood in their eye. They're going to annihilate each other. No matter what they gain, neither one's going to live to see the good of it. Look at the 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands and thousands of white crosses on foreign soil of boys that died for these principles. My God, what a waste. The cream of youth wasted in blood far, far away from home. And almost without fail, a 19, 20, 25, 30-year-old boy in his dying hour will cry for mama, and mama won't come. Amen. What a waste. What a waste when men are blown to bits, smithereens. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Randy is talking about going into death row with Brother Harley. Amen. And visiting those guys on death row, and how one brother told me about how Brother Harley took him in there, and Brother Harley was talking to this one death row prisoner, amen, and Brother Harley told him, I believe it was Dave Hamilton, said, "Show him your trick." And he had some way or other kept a little old razor blade that he took out. And he had practiced and practiced until he could flip that razor blade with his finger. He goes sailing across the room and hit the bullseye and embed itself in a wooden wall. Amen. Practice that. Nothing else to do. on death row. Amen. But to flip that razor blade. Oh, you might need to get somebody that was there to tell you a little more explicitly, a little more correctly. Amen. But folks, we're all on death row. We need to take heed that we're not spending our lives becoming practiced at flipping razor blades. Because a lot of the things we do to waste our time is a little better than flipping a razor blade. Amen. We need to employ ourselves in something that's going to last. Yes, John, there will be a future. John would live to go back to his church. He would live to go back. Maybe, I don't know which one it was, amen, that he went back to. Maybe all the seven churches of Asia in time in his old age. They say he lived to be in his 90s and outlived all the rest of the apostles and survived the pot of boiling oil and survived Patmos to go back until they would bring him in on a couch and lay him down on a stretcher-like bed. And they would ask, Father John, would you have an admonition for us? He would raise his head ever so slightly upon his bed and say, little children, love one another. Amen. That goes along with Brother Bill Finley's statement last night about the brother Jones, was it, that said he would like to encourage his brother more if he had his life to live over. That's what John was doing when he said, little children, love one another. There would be a future for John yet. He would survive Patmos. But wait a minute, John has been a long time gone. Close to 2,000 years gone. Huh? John's been gone a long time. Where did he go? That is the question. Where did he go? That's what we must answer to find that which is of real value. Where is he? Praise God. John tells us of that grand hope. He gives us a panorama of the future. He pulls back the curtain in the book of Revelation, because revelation means to uncover something. Pull back the curtain, amen, and let people see, praise God, that there will be a future. A golden day is coming. Amen. Immediately I was in the Spirit. Glory to God. In the Spirit, behold, a throne was set in heaven. Amen. That's how he got it, in the Spirit. He got the revelation in the Spirit. Hey, amen, you say, I don't want something in the Spirit, I want something real. Is that so? Well, most of this world today is delving into the spirit world again. They're dabbling it with demons. Amen. Man, dabbling. I mean, the drug high is a consultation of sorts with devils, amen. And all the worship of idols in the world is a worship, the Bible says, of devils. Amen. The idol Mary that they pray to in the Roman church is a devil. Amen. And you don't want to say that south of the border. You want to skirt the issue south of the border. Don't tell them they're praying to a devil south of the border. That's not really Mary, and Mary is not going to help you, and Mary can't, because Mary's dead too. Amen. But don't tell them that's a devil. Don't tell them that all the worships in the world is allegiance and obedience to devils. Amen. He said, immediately I was in the Spirit. I'd rather be in the Spirit of God than under the spirit of LSD. Come on. Amen. And a lot of people claim to get religion on an LSD trip. Amen. In fact, to the pastor of a whole LSD cult. I can't remember his name, amen, right now, but anyway, he claimed to be a religion. Wanted the status with the IRS, you know. Amen. Claimed to be a religion, drug cult. The whole world is going back to consultation with the dead, communing with spirits of dead loved ones. More and more and more, more and more of the programs and the movies today are about those very things and the power that you can have if you're in touch with the right God. Amen. Demons taking over in society today. The demons taking over in entertainment today. Demon-inspired songs, if you will. Demon-inspired music, if you will. Amen. Oh, yes. The devil uses beautiful things to lure our youth today. Beautiful promises to lure our youth today. Amen. But look at those that followed those things in bygone years. Look at the nation that worship those types of gods that even got so far along that they sacrificed their children to spirits. Look at what happened to the worshipers of Molech. That beautiful park, the Valley of Hinnom, outside Jerusalem. Amen. Where they lay the children in the arms of the red-hot god Molech in sacrifice and drummed and blowed their horns while the babies screamed out their last breath and while distraught mothers tore at their chains, at their captors to get to their dying babies. And they tried to make it look like a noble and wonderful thing that they sacrificed their babies to the false god so they could have good crops and good rain and success. Come on. Ain't much different today, amen, than a society that in order to have affluence, in order not to have it so hard, amen, to abort their children. They're just sacrificing their babies to another god, or maybe the same god, for the same reason. Amen. Immediately I was in the spirit. Oh boy, that's how he got it. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Man, Sunday morning coming down, I thought about calling this little essay this morning, Sunday morning coming down on Patmos. Amen. I decided maybe not to. Amen. But Johnny Cash sang his song Sunday morning, coming down. The beer I drank for breakfast tastes good. He said I had another for dessert. We need a better Sunday than that. Amen. He heard the songs coming out of the chapel somewhere along the street and the sounds of children playing. Amen. And the whole depressing dirge was the memories of better times and Sunday morning coming down. Sunday morning's coming down in Patmos. And you're a prisoner. And you got worse things than your Ford won't start on your mind. You got worse things than the air conditioner quit and the power went out last night. Amen. I woke up in the early hours, I think yesterday morning, if not yesterday morning, Friday morning, somewhere around 3, 4, or 5 o'clock, and the power was off. Amen. I wonder why the lights didn't come on when I turned the lights on. And I finally decided there wasn't any power. Amen. And then came that truck up the aisle with a big spotlight on, shining in my windows, finally in my yard. Amen. I got myself up and, amen, pointed the guys in the right direction. Amen. Told them the way to get down on Raggett Road where that fuse blew up is to go up to the light and turn right. Wind your way down the road. It wasn't long till they had the power back on again. I had to get up, Randy, and turn the lights off that I had turned on. Amen. John had more to worry about that than that. Sunday morning was coming down. He wasn't worried. Amen. He wasn't worried whether he had the bait that would catch the fish for the day. He wasn't worried about whether his boat would start or not. He wasn't worried about whether his four-wheeler would make it through the mud or not. Amen. Hey, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, praise God. My, and he got this book, and he wrote it, and now we've got it, and we can read it. And yes, I'm going to tell you this morning, there will be a future. Look at it. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. My. And he that was to look on like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about the throne and a light likened to an emerald. And around about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there were, as it was, a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast like a lion, the second like a calf, and the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth beast like a flying eagle. What does it mean, Brother Collins? These 24 seats around the throne. Amen. And my, these 4 beasts and this sea of glass likened to crystal, praise God. And these 4 beasts that had 6 wings about him were full of eyes within, and he rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. There will be a future, folks. Amen. Who are the 24 elders and the 4 beasts? Maybe unfortunate in our modern day interpretation of things that they are called beasts. Living creatures is a better translation for our present time. And I'm not trying to take away from the King James Version, but the King James Version is not the original. Amen. The Bible, quite contrary to some, wasn't written in King James English. Amen. Dr. Ruckman decided that the Bible was originally written in King James English. Amen. But it wasn't. It was written in a mixture of Hebrew and Greek. Amen. And translated a few times until we got the most reliable there is, I feel, the King James, praise God. There are some things, however, in their meaning that don't give us the beauty of the scene like it would if we translated in our everyday language. Living beings. Yes. There will be a future. Yes. 24 elders sitting on 24 thrones around a central throne. It's going to take some time, folks. Amen. You see, there were 32,000 priests living in the priest cities down in Jericho and around the country. Amen. But only 24 ministered at a time. in the temple. And they chose them by lot. In other words, they drawed straws and they said, it's your time now. Amen. They drawed names and they said, it's your time now. But that 24 represented the whole priesthood. And these 24 golden thrones, amen, says, folks, that someday your time's going to come. And you will sit in regality around the central throne. And you will judge and live and reign with him on and on and on. Praise God, the first 1,000 years is just the beginning. The Bible says they lived and reigned with him forever and forever. Yes, John, there will be a future. Yes, you silver-haired mothers and daddies, amen, some of you are widowers and bachelors that have already said farewell to your mate. Amen. And you're singing the glad songs of the redeemed that we shall meet. Where no storm clouds gather, we shall meet. Praise God. Where we'll never grow old, Brother Croucher. Never grow old. Yes, Brother Croucher, there will be a future. Yes, Sister Alexander, there will be a future. Yes, Sister May, amen, and Sister Gracie, there will be a future. Praise God. Yes, Marcella, there will be a future. Praise God. Some of these days, the redeemed of the earth are going to meet again, and they're going to live again. Praise God. Personally, it wouldn't be too much of an encouragement to me to know that I was going to be a spirit floating around on a cloud. If that's all there was to it, I'd take it. Personally, it wouldn't be too much of an encouragement to me, amen, to have a cabin in glory land, even though I'm not worthy even of that. Amen. It wouldn't be too much of an encouragement to me to think about and brag about that I was going to have a one-room log cabin in glory land. Yet there is a song that we used to sing, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Ah, there's a better future. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Don't you know that these 24 elders, that's the older ones, the first one, if you will, these 24 elders, these ruling, reigning ones, these regal ones, if you will, are sitting on 24 golden thrones around the central throne. Hallelujah. And across the sea of glass is 10,000 times 10,000 of the saints. Praise God. He took in another crop in the 7th chapter. Amen. And he said after this, verse 9 in chapter 7, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. They're not just spirits floating around on a cloud. They got palms in their hands. Amen. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders, and the four living ones, and fell before the throne to their face, and worshiped God, saying, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered unto me, and it's a question a bunch of us would like to have asked, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? where did they come from? Amen. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. You have a hard time with prophecy? Amen. John did too. Most of the prophets did too. Many of them prophesied and didn't understand what they said. They just said, thus saith the Lord. Amen. And he said, sir, thou knowest. He's already got the whole church in heaven in the fourth chapter. Amen. I mean the 24 elders administering in their turn in the fourth chapter. The four living creatures in the fourth chapter. And here comes a number that no man can. Another bunch. He said, where'd they come from? There's a lot of holiness preachers never have found out yet. Amen. I was one of them for about 12 years. Amen. Hallelujah. As far as I was concerned, this was just part of the church present. Amen. Hallelujah. No, it's not the church proper. This is a group, a special group that came out, he tells us. He said, and I said, I said to him, sir, thou knowest. He said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Where'd they come from? Out of great tribulation, folks. It ain't gonna ever get so bad. But what there is a future for those that will call upon the name of the Lord. I mean, this is real people with real hands. And they're going to eat and they're going to drink in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Good friend of mine, missionary to Mexico. Amen. Skip Kincaid. He said, you can't explain the assimilation of food and waste in a glorified body. Thus, he concluded that we're not going to eat when we get to heaven. Amen. Well, I didn't hold it against him. That's what we talk about at night after church. Amen. I didn't accuse him necessarily of being in error and in false doctrine. Amen. A lot of us are still like children casting pebbles on the shore when before us there extends an ocean of truth. And God smiles at a lot of us, including me, in our partial. We're just like Leo Earls laughed at me when I, as a little bitty child, I believe that automobiles all turned into T models. They just got older and older until they looked worse and worse like old people and fell apart. And I asked Leo when he was washing his car, I said, how long will it take this to turn into a T model? And he just laughed at me. And I think God just laughs at us. Amen. As we make our discoveries along the road of life. Amen. And we got a lot of ideas that need to be corrected. And we are going to understand it better by and by. But the wonderful thing about it is, folks, there's going to be a by and by. Will we eat? Will we drink? Will we enjoy it when we get to heaven? Yes, and better. We won't even have to worry about calories when we get to glory land. Amen. Have a brand new body. Ooh-wee. Amen. That angel consumed that sacrifice in a moment's time. He didn't have to worry about digestion and assimilation and the waste. Amen. He just consumed in a moment's time. Praise God. Hey, we're going to sit down and drink it new, Jesus said, with him in the kingdom of God. We'll eat that hidden manna with him in the kingdom of God. Amen. And ain't nothing I've ever seen in this world that's going to come up with the glory that awaits the children of God. Raise your hands and praise God. Thank you, Jesus. There will be a future, a glorious future. a grand and wondrous future, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we will understand it better by and by. And even enjoy it better by and by, praise God. Ah, yes, raise your sights. Aim high. Leave the world behind, because everybody that lived for it lost it. Everybody that had it, they can't spend it now. Everybody that one time ate it, if they didn't live for God and go to heaven, they'll never eat the manna and drink the new wine in the kingdom of God. But you can. And I can. Lord bless you as you give a good offering to Brother Corey.
Men often dream of faraway lands with strange sounding names. Oh, but it seems each time I dream, it's not the same. I long for a place that I have never been before, with a white pearly gate and a father who waits by a big open door. Oh, what's that I hear? Is it the sound of a trumpet? I feel the touch of a much better place. And if I am dreaming, please don't awake me. Soon the eastern skies will part, and I'll see his face. Oh, what's that I hear? Is it the sound of a trumpet? Oh, I feel the touch of a much better